I know Brother Mac, though he's not with us in person, I know he's with us in spirit, and I know he's praying just as we're praying for him. But I know he'll be listening to this later, so in the thanks that I express to Brother Lee, Brother Philip, and Brother Mac, I know he'll get this, you know, later in the form of the message if he's not listening to it live, but... we've enjoyed our time thus far, the conference yesterday, the time we've been able to fellowship together and talk about old times and share some new things together. It's been good. But thank you for your graciousness and the invitation to come and speak. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to 1 John. Chapter number 5. 1 John. Chapter number 5. And verse number 20. 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 20. I love to hear the sound of pages turning. People wanting to read. And to hear, and as our verse says here, to understand. So, 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come. How do you know that? You seen Him? Physically, we haven't seen Him. Yeah. We know that the Son of God has come. Well, the verse tells us. And hath given us an understanding. How do we know? Because an understanding has been given. That's the reason why we know. Just to weave in yesterday a little bit, and the men's retreat, faithfulness, that was the subject. And I heard several men speak, both there and here, and give a testimony to the fact that God gave them something during that time. Well, we're here this morning, we're looking for the same thing, right? We all want to receive something from the Lord. This verse is telling us, expounding to us, where that comes from. You don't get it because you're smarter, brother, than the person next to you. That may be so. But this understanding, she doesn't think so. But the the understanding that we have, it's not our human God-given ability that does come into play to some extent. I mean, we understand English. We can read these words. But the understanding, the spiritual truths, the things these men stood up and shared a little bit about that they're able to hang their hats on, things that have riveted them to God, things that have riveted them to the faith, things that have riveted them to the gospel. Where has that come from? He hath given us an understanding that we may know Him. I mean, you think about it just on the surface. I'm sorry, this is something that I'm not used to wearing. Mine usually is here on my shirt, but it's moving. I'm trying not to let it distract me, but or to hold my head like this to keep it on. But that may happen before we're through. He hath given us an understanding that we may know Him. Think about that. Why do you know Him? Why is it that you know God? Why is it that these little children gave some of the answers that they gave? You know, they've heard some things. Who'd they hear them from? Well, hopefully it's not just something they're parroting from their parents. But, I mean, that's bad. I mean, the best we can do, brother, I mean, with our children, best we can do is raise hypocrites. God's got to come. And He's got to give an understanding. I can't save them. I can't convert them. If I could, I would. God's got to do it. God's got to do a work. God's got to change their heart. God's got to give an understanding that we may know Him that is true and know that we are in Him that is true. How many people have you known? I'm sure you can probably recall yourself struggling with knowing and having assurance that I am indeed His. I belong unto Him. I am His. and He is mine. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. To hear Him whisper, you know, in my ear, so to speak, you're mine. You belong unto me. Everything that happens in your life, I'm in control of. I'm working. I'm doing these things. I'm in control. Where do we get this understanding from? It comes from Him. That we may know that we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I like that. This is the true God and eternal life. It's eternal life to know Him. To know Him. He's given us an understanding. That's what we want to talk about this morning. That this book, and we've just recently gone through 1 John in our assembly. This book is a no book. John uses this word no over and over and over again. We know, we know, we know. Well, this is kind of a conclusion, you know, as far as his remark here at the end in verse number 20, our understanding's from Him. This knowing that we have, this understanding comes from the Lord. Let me just share with you a few of these verses that we encounter. I'm not going to take them necessarily in order. You can try to follow along if you'd like to, or just listen to the verses being read. But this phrase we know, or its equivalent, we find, like I said, over and over again. And it's primarily used in the sense of us and our life that we have in Christ. 1 John 5:13, these things, and this was our, we made a bookmark when we started this study, and we gave it to everybody. And this is the verse of Scripture that we put on it. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you. John's telling us why he's writing. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? Why, John? Why have you wrote this letter? That ye may know that you have eternal life. That's why I'm writing. That's why I've given you this letter. That you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Go on to another verse, 1 John 2:3. And hereby we do know that we know Him. That's important. Brother Philip and I were talking about this, and my sentiments and his sentiments are exactly the same in this regard. And as far as our children are concerned, the one thing that is the most important thing for me as a father and the life of my children is that they know Him. I don't care if they go to college. I do care, you know, about those things. But I'm saying in relationship to this one thing. Brother Jeff, I know you're back there shaking your head. You've got little ones. The one thing that I care about more than anything else, and I have expressed to them over and over and over again, is that you know Him, that you know God, that you seek after Him with all of your heart, that He may be found, and that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly, that you would understand these things and point them in the direction where they need to go to get that understanding, and that is to Him. That they go to God, that they call upon Him. But that's the most important thing to me. I don't, honestly, if they become a trash collector, you know, that's fine. If they know God, if they could be a trash collector and serve Christ, if they can know Him, that's the most important thing. And hereby we do know that we know Him, 1 John 2:3, if we keep His commandments. How are we going to know? How are we going to know that we know Him? John tells us right here. How important are the commandments of the Lord unto you? How important is what the Lord says unto you to you? Our obedience is born out of our love towards Him. It's not a grievous thing. John says this himself. You know, we don't do these things and they're a drudgery. I go to work every day. That's a drudgery. You know, work isn't fun to me. I don't know about you, Brother Philip. It's work. It's called work for a reason, right? You know, when I was a kid, going to First Baptist, you know, church and going to Sunday school, one of the things they gave us one time, I still remember it this day, they gave me a Frisbee one time, and on the Frisbee it said, "It's fun being a Christian." Not necessarily. I can rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. It's not always fun, though. There's hard times. There's difficult places. There's trials and tribulations. There's persecutions. It's not always fun. But I can rejoice because I know who's in control of it all. Because I know Him who's orchestrating everything in my life. Our obedience is born out of our love for Him, which is born out of the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts, which is born out of the Holy Spirit's presence in us, which connects with the thing that we're talking about here in 1 John 5:20, this understanding that we have. Where does it come from? It comes from God. Well, how? It's the Spirit of God teaching us, giving us understanding. 1 John 3:14, another we know. We know that we've passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. I love this brother. I love you, brother. I appreciate you. It's good to see you again. We love the brethren. We love being together. Who would you rather be with? Who would you rather be around? I've got family members. I mean, they're blood kin, but they don't know the Lord. If I'm going to fellowship with somebody, I'd much rather it be. I mean, you're not blood kin, brother, but you are a brother. And I can receive some encouragement here. I can receive some help here. We can share with one another and talk about the things of the Lord together and help one another. I love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You know, what about this love? Is it our standard of love? No. It's the Lord's standard. What's His standard? That we love one another as He loved us. That's a pretty tall order. I don't love you enough, brother. I can confess that right now. I know that's a fact. I could love you more. I am not what I should be in a lot of things. I'm not what I was before the Lord saved me. I'm not what I would be. I would like to see some things change. I'd like to grow in grace in some areas that I could identify. And thank God, I'm not what I shall be. There's coming a day when we're going to ascend and we're going to dwell in a place where righteousness dwells. And I'm not going to have any more sinful thoughts. I'm not going to struggle with sin anymore. I'm going to dwell in a place where righteousness alone dwells. 1 John 5:2 says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments." 1 John 5:19, there's some other understanding the Lord gives. Listen to this, 1 John 5:19, "And we know that we are of God." We've hit on that already. "And that the whole world lieth wickedness." It's a wicked place all around us. That's important to know. This place, like I said yesterday, I made this comment. This place, this world, it's not a playground. That's the way the world looks at it. It's a playground. You and me, it's a battlefield. That's what it is. And a lot of the battle takes place right up here in the mind. It's a battlefield. The whole world lieth in wickedness. So John ends his letter here in 1 John 5. That's just some preparatory, you know, things and talking about the book. Go back and read it. Or get you a concordance. Look it up. See how many times John uses this phrase, "we know." Go back and look at those things. It'd be profitable to you. Maybe to spend the afternoon, you know, reading through. It wouldn't take you that long to read, you know, 1 John or the Epistle of John through all five chapters. But he ends this letter focused upon the understanding that we have been given of these things. How is it that we know anything in regards to God? It's by the divine blessed truth of Him giving unto us an understanding. He's given that unto us. How'd you come to know these truths that you know? I mean, I could start right here and we could work our way through if we had the time, and each person could, we could all express something and share with one another something that God has taught us about Himself. How is it that you know that? That's exactly the thing. He's taught us. He's given us that understanding. How did you come to know the truths that you hold dear and the things that have shaped your thinking and have given you peace? Think about the peace that you have through what you understand that God's given you understanding of. I can remember this one man that we have in our had in our assembly. He's not there this present time, but when he first started coming, or right before he came, he was the type of person, maybe you've met some of these people before, you would go and witness to them, and they'd say, I can't come. You know, I'm so bad that if I were to come, you know, the roof would cave in kind of thing. You know, they would, and he would say that sort of in jest, tongue in cheek, you know, but he really felt that way. I mean, you know the people that think they've got to get better before they can even come, you know, to the assembly. And we finally persuaded him, you know, to come, but before we did, there was one day that my dad had a chance to talk with him a little bit, and he's a kind of mechanic, and my dad had him do some work on his truck. And right before my dad left, the man came up to the window, and he said, you know, he said, I'd like to have what you have. And my dad said, what are you talking about? He said, the peace that you have. It's been a long time for me. I was very small when the Lord saved me. But to think about the things when the Lord brought you under that conviction and the things that were those sins that you knew that if you died that day would send you to hell. And your only hope was in Christ. And when you're under that conviction, that's where that man was at that time. I want the peace. I need the peace. I've got to have the peace that you have. Come. Come. Come in here. Come and hear the gospel proclaimed. Come to Christ. That peace can be yours. But think about the peace. Think about the things that you hold dear, like I said, that shaped your thinking. There was one night, we were sitting at the dinner table as a family, and I did do that. We went through that exercise, and I said to him, I said, look, this is what I'm going to be preaching on. Tell me, what is it that you hold dear? Well, tell me something. Give me something, I said, that God has taught you. Give me something that God's given unto you. Give me that one thing, perhaps, that has helped you more than anything else. Not that the other things haven't helped, but this is one of those key things. It's like a keystone in your life. You know. One of them said unto me, the love that God has for His children. I said, that's good. That's good. Another said, and boy, I can jump right in there with them on this one, that God is sovereign over all. Talk about peace. Being able to have peace. If I believed, like some people I've talked to before, that they say the reason why bad things happen to me is because, you know, God's turned His back. And He wasn't watching me. And something all of a sudden snuck up on me that He didn't see. Oh, that there's no peace there. There's no peace there. But knowing that God is in every single detail, even the hard things that we go through, there's peace there. The third one said, His unwavering faithfulness. Are we always faithful? Not always. God is. There's never a time that God is not faithful. There's never a time that He's, I've got to be careful, I've got to go over here and take care of something. You know, you've got to watch after yourself for a minute. No. He's always watching. His eye is, I'd love to be able to tell each one of the kids as they came up, always afraid of the dark, right? I always love being able to tell them, you know what? God can see in the dark just like He can in the daytime. There is no difference to Him. It is to us. I can't see in the dark very well. I tell you, I could get out in the woods somewhere, brother, and I could get scared, you know, in the dark, being somewhere I didn't know, you know, and being lost, you know, and all, but He can see in the daytime just like He can in the night. Good things to understand. That God's always watching. That there's never a time that He's not intimately involved in everything that's happening unto us. I'll give you one of my favorite. I gave it to the men yesterday. My favorite, we know. It's not found here in John's epistle. But Romans 8:28. Those two words are connected there. And we know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. From where did these precious realities come? How is it that you came to know that God is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? That didn't just fall into my lap one day. God gave me that understanding. God has come and done something incredibly wonderful in us. I mean, it's almost like, here, I've got this thing, I keep having to readjust it, but I've got this thing that I'm wearing, and it's transmitting a signal, and I'm assuming it's probably this little thing over here that it's going into. I don't know. I'm not a real technical guy. Brother Lee, you can correct me there, but it's there's transmission happening. There's a signal being transmitted by virtue of the very fact that we have the Spirit of God indwelling us. These things can be communicated. He teaches us and gives us understanding. We have an understanding. The world doesn't understand Christ. It's not interested in Christ. In the very opening chapter of this letter, John says, God is light. They love the darkness rather than the light. They would explain Jesus Christ away as a man, not the Son of God. And certainly not the Savior of the world. There's a movie currently out in the theaters about the life of a man named Louis Zamperini. I don't know if any of you recognize that name. You do? Okay. Well, the movie, I think that maybe somebody can correct me if I'm not right about this. I haven't seen it. I'm not recommending necessarily that you go and watch it, because Hollywood most of the time gets things real wrong, real fast. But I think it's called Unbroken. I don't know. But I was told that as he was in a plane that had been shot down, and as it's going down into the ocean, that he prayed. He asked God to spare his life. And asked him if he would do that, he said, I'll serve you. If you'll do this for me, I'll serve you. Well, God did graciously spare the man's life. He ended up in a concentration camp. God spared him through that. Came back to the States. He was drowning himself in alcohol. God spared him through that. His wife encouraged him to go to an evangelistic meeting. And the Lord saved him. But this is I said all that to say this. Used to, when you went in the military, I don't know if they still do this or not. Anybody been that's younger in the military? Do they still give New Testaments, brother? No. Used to, they did. I've got a copy of a great uncle. He was a CB. He was in the Navy. And Roosevelt had issued these out to all the men, right? And so here this man had this New Testament. He hadn't done much with it all these years. But when the Lord saved him, he said, I went back. He said, I found that New Testament. He said, I opened it for the first time. I understood what it said. This is what I'm talking about. God gives understanding. He read that thing before, perhaps, didn't mean anything to him, didn't do anything for him. But when God turned the light on, when God gave him that transmitter to be able to, or receiver, to receive the transmission, it began to make a difference in his life. It meant something to him. Maybe you can identify with that in your own life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to turn over there, 1 Corinthians the second chapter. Verse number 9. Think about this. What are we talking about? We're talking about an understanding that God gives, right? Listen, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We were praying this morning. This was my prayer for you and for me. This is the only thing I had peace about bringing to you this morning. As I prayed and I labored about, Lord, what would you have me to bring to the saints there? Yet this day has been 46 years in the making. I'm 46 years old. 46 years in the making. That I would stand here today. That you would be seated there today. That we'd be looking at these verses today. But as we were praying, that maybe it wouldn't be something that I have necessarily in the notes that I've prepared to say unto you. The Lord can speak to you apart from what comes out of my mouth. It's the Spirit of God within you that gives you understanding. There's things going on in your life I don't know about. I don't understand that are happening to you. God knows. And God can give you exactly what you need right now, right at this moment. Verse 10, "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." How would we know those things apart from this? I mean, I think about college and some of the things that I had to learn or tried to learn, you know, that they thought of, that men think of as deep things. They're not godly things, but they regard them as deep things. And I'm like, yeah, that's deeper than I want to get into that thing, you know. But these things I want to know. I want to know the deep things of God. I want the deep things of God to take root and take hold in my life. Verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world." You can get degrees. I'm not going to help you here. There are people who, you know, "Brother, I'm not fluent in Greek or Hebrew. I couldn't stand up here and read from a Greek or Hebrew scripture." There are people who can. There are people who could. There are people who could do that and still not know the Savior. Verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man." Think about the passage Jeff read this morning. The fool says in his heart, he may have all kinds of degrees behind his name, all kinds of little letters back there, maybe Dr. So-and-so. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. God's given us an understanding. "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received," verse 12, "not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." Catch this. Don't miss this. Listen. "That we might know the things of God," or the things that are freely given to us of God. God freely gives these things. Think about James. What does he say? "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." He freely gives. He abundantly gives. He will pour out upon you. I thought maybe you had heard that before that I said last night. He kept telling me, he said, "Well, I guess we ought to go to bed." I think he said that two or three times. Because I just kept going. And I asked him, I said, "Brother, have you ever heard how that, you know, my cup runneth over? Have you ever heard an illustration behind that? I've heard that whenever you came over to somebody's house, I'm sitting here at Brother Philip's house. And, you know, maybe I'm feeling a little, you know, sensitive too. You know, Brother Philip wants to go to bed. And he asked me to come over for dinner. You know, maybe it's time for me to go. Well, brother, I guess it's time we ought to be going." Brother Philip reaches over. Maybe my glass is, I drank everything in it. He reaches over and he grabs the pitcher and he pours into that cup until it begins to run over out onto the table. And that would be, you know, key to me to say, this brother wants me to stay. He's not looking for me to go. He wants me to stay. My cup runneth over. It's all over the table. It's running over. Freely given to us of God. Verse 13 says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness." The fool says in his heart, there is no God. "They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." But that we might know, again, John's saying, we know. That we might know, he says here in verse number 12, the things that are freely given to us of God. You know, these things that we have written in this book, maybe you've talked to people like this before. I know people I've tried to witness to, and they say, "Well, these are just the writings of men." You know, well, why do you want to trust those things? You know, that's not what the Scripture tells us. That's not the understanding I've been given by God. These things were not written because men thought them out and thought them through and came to logical conclusions. Nor did you. If it weren't for the Spirit of God, you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. I wouldn't be standing here this morning. These things are an understanding of that which is far, far above us. What does God say? "My thoughts aren't your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." But He's given us an understanding that His thoughts might become our thoughts. And that we might have a conversation, brother, about spiritual things and things of Christ and rejoice in those things. Otherwise, they would mean nothing unto us. Just like you said this morning, when you go to those conferences and those people are wanting to go out and do other things, like, oh man, we get to go to, you know, the Woodlands or to Houston, and we're going to stay in a hotel, and there's this and that and those things to do. And brother, they asked Brother Philip, do you want to go with us? I'm going to go back to my room and read. He chose the good part. You know, He chose the good part. He's going to go home and sit, or back to the hotel room and sit at the Savior's feet while they're out there in the world doing, you know, whatever it is that they consider to be the good part. Who makes you to differ from them? God. God's made you to differ. If we went back to that passage that we read from, if you're still there in 1 Corinthians 2, earlier up in the chapter, in verse number 1, he says, I, brethren, came, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. That's how the world comes. They come in excellency of speech. They come in man's wisdom. He said, I didn't come that way, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined, these men determine as they come to speak before you. They determine this right here. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He says, I was with you. I'm with you this morning in this way. He said, I was with you in weakness. I'm right there. I hope you're there this morning. I'm here in weakness. I need God to give. I can't get on my own. I need God to give. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what we're talking about this morning. You're not here believing and rejoicing in the things of God because of the wisdom of these men that preach. You're here rejoicing in these things because of the wisdom that God gives, and God has given unto you. It's not the eloquence that they exhibit. And I know they would confess to you, just like I would, I'm not a Spurgeon. I'm not able to stand here, if you've read any of this about him before, I'm not able to stand here, and I know he had some form of notes, I've seen them before. But he would stand here and he would be able to preach, have four or five thoughts running through his mind, choosing what he's going to say next while he's praying for several people, you know, in the congregation. I don't have a mind like that. It's easy for me to be weak. I don't have the mind like he had, where he could go to his library and pull a book off the shelf and he could turn and knew what side of the page what he had read before, where it was at. I don't have that kind of a mind. But I have the Spirit of God. But I have Christ. But I have been given an understanding. In 1 John 2:20 it says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Let me ask you a question. I first had this presented to me by Brother Conrad Merle. Some of you know him. Some of you heard him speak. He said, have you ever heard something that you've never heard before, but when you heard it, you knew it was so, and you rejoiced in it? That's what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about. The Spirit of God. It's just like when you meet a brother or sister for the first time, and there's just this bond that takes place because there's a love for Christ, and there's a love for Christ. There was a time when we had that, brother. You know, and Brother Jeff and Brother Lee. You know, brother, we had that. Why? There was a witness there. There was a witness there. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, that's not saying that I know everything there is to know in this book. I don't. I confess to you that I don't. But I've heard things that I haven't heard before, and I was immediately able to rejoice in those things and embrace those things. And from that point forward, walk in those things. First Corinthians 13:9, speaking of not knowing all things in that sense. First Corinthians 13:9 says we know in part. The Lord told the disciples in John 16, I have many things to say unto you, but you're not able to bear them now. I don't know that I'd be able to bear knowing all things. Think about what's going to happen to me between now and the end of my life. Think if the headlights were to shine all the way home and you would see all the things that are going to take place. I don't know that I would be necessarily able to handle that. Apparently not, or the Lord would give me some understanding of some things that I may not have right now. I'm going to need some future grace for those times. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. One day we're going to know even as we are known, aren't we? You think the Lord knows you pretty good? Know even as you are known. Can you imagine, brother? Many people come to the Scriptures as the Pharisees did Christ with their own private interpretations and opinions. The wisdom of men, preconceived notions. The Word doesn't necessarily speak to them. They speak to the Word. They pull things out of context and they twist, you know, the Scripture. Scripture says to their own destruction. Scripture says of them, their heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing. Ephesians 4:20 says, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. I like this passage in Proverbs 2. Let's take the time to turn over there, because if I just read it to you, it's not going to make the impact necessarily that it might if you turn to the passage and you read it as I'm reading it to you. Proverbs 2, verse number 3. Speaking of wisdom, speaking of understanding, is what the writer is writing about here. Verse 1, he says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Verse number 3 is the one I wanted to get to here. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Think there's some things you don't know? Think there's some things you don't understand? You think there's going to be some things that are going to be needful for you in the coming days that you're going to need to know? You think it would be good for you if you were to do this very thing here and bow down before the Lord and say, Lord, give me understanding. I don't know what's coming. Give the messages to Brother Philip and give the messages to Brother Lee and give the messages to Brother Mac and Brother Jeff and others that speak here that we need to hear in these days. You know, there's some things that seem to be changing. I don't know if any of you have listened to the last message that Brother John Piper preached. I kind of feel like I'm a little bit because I got one of these things. I never had one of these things before. But the last message that he preached, or one of the last ones, I think it was the very last one, but he went through recounting. He said, 30 years ago when I started at Bethlehem, the things that we're seeing today wouldn't have even been thought of. Things that are going through the court system and things that are being overturned wouldn't have even been thought of. Been laughed out of the court. Days are changing. We've had it pretty good. I mean, we've had a pretty good run in this country as far as having freedom to worship. We may find ourselves one day, or our children may find themselves one day in the same position that we talk about that our brothers and sisters in places like China and places like Iran are in. You know what I want? Maybe it happens in my day. Maybe it happens in my children's day. Lord, teach me. Instruct me. Give me an understanding. Help me to prepare for that day myself, if it comes for me, or prepare them, that they may walk before you and that they may be able to walk before you and trust you with all of their heart and honor you and not be afraid, but to stand in the strength that the Lord gives. Give me an understanding to be able to convey that, to be able to preach the messages that need to be preached in this day that I'm living to the saints wherever they may be found, that I may preach to, or that in our church mostly. That's most of the time that's where I'm at. I don't get invitations to preach many places. I'm there most of the time. But give me understanding. I've told Brother Philip more than this more than once in the days that we've been together. I still feel this way. I mean, I really felt this way when I first started preaching. The Lord called me to preach 18 years ago. But I still feel like Solomon. I feel like a little child. Lord, I don't know how to go in, how to come. I need understanding. You know, how to come in, how to go out. I need understanding. I need, help me. For those of you outside of Christ, for those that we know that are outside of Christ, the real tragedy is they don't have this understanding. They don't even know that they're blind. They don't even know that they're in bondage. They're the ones that the Lord's doing some work in their life. They have become to come to understand these things. But think about the world. They pride themselves in knowledge. They pride themselves in their accomplishments. They pride themselves in the understanding that they have. They're thinkers. They consider themselves great thinkers and innovators. But they do not serve and worship their Creator. They're fools. They're fools in God's economy. In the world's economy, I mean, they're great. But in God's economy, they're fools. God has given us an understanding in the midst of a world that holds little as being certain. That's happening more and more in our day than it ever has. Is there such a thing as truth? They've begun to question it greatly. They have for many years. They hold little as certain. Guess what? We have an anchor. We have an anchor. We know. John uses this phrase. We know. We know. We know. We've been given an anchor. We are certain. We've been given understanding. We don't need to wonder. We need not waver. We do it still at times. We're not always faithful. The Lord's brought me through some things. I've shared that with the men. But yet, I'll go through something else. Perhaps a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. Will I trust the Lord with those things that He taught me? Will I continue trusting Him the way that He taught me to trust Him over here when I go through something new? Or will I falter and stumble? Will I be afraid of sudden fear? We talked about this morning. Be not afraid of sudden fear. If sudden fear is going to come, don't be afraid of it. Trust the Lord. Rely upon Him. Romans 11:33, speaking of understanding, oh, the depths. Think about Paul when he said, oh, that I may know Him. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. Oh, that I may know Him. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. You know what I feel like? I feel like the psalmist in Psalm 139, verse number 5. He says this, Thou hast beset me before and behind. You know what that's like to me? That's like whenever we get out of the car. I think I used this as an illustration of something else yesterday, but when I get out of the car, I've got two little ones. You heard me call them up here earlier. You know, they're like I was when I was little. You know, no, I don't want to go up there. You know, the Lord had to work some things out of me to get me to where I could stand here before You like this. You know, work some things into me and some things out of me. But when they get out of the car, guess what? I grab their hand. And I'm watching. They're not necessarily watching. They ought to be watching. I'm trying to teach them to watch. But I grab their hand. I have their hand. They think they have mine. But I have their hand. And I lead them. He's beset us. Behind and before. He's laid His hand upon me. Just like I'm laying my hand upon them. And the white lights of that taillight come on the next car as we're walking towards the store, and I grab them, pull them back. God does that for us. He goes on to say, and this is the part that I wanted to get to in reading that. He says, such knowledge. Think about the understanding you've been given. He says, such knowledge. It's too wonderful for me. Can you believe it, brother? All the things that God has done for us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. God had mercy on me. I could be like others that are doing other things this morning. They're walking out there, walking the streets even. Their lives are so wrecked by sin that they don't even have a home. And be lost in this world and be without God. Yes. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. What a wonderful thing it is to understand. To have an understanding of these things that God has given us to know, that we may, as the text says here, you go back over there to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. And I know we've been speaking for a while now. It may be starting to wear on you. So flip some pages over there. 1 John 5, verse number 20. Give an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and that we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, excuse me, Jesus Christ. John, in essence, here at the end of this letter, saying this unto us, God has been so made known unto us. He's given us such an understanding, in other words, that there's no reason. There's really no reason. Is there a reason for you to doubt with all that God has shown unto you and unto me? Is there a reason for me to fear? Is there a reason for me to doubt? John's saying there's no reason for us to fear. There's no reason for us to doubt. Here's another exercise for you. Go through the Scriptures and see how many times the Scriptures say, fear not. Fear not. There's no reason for doubting. By grace, through faith, it is the gift of God. John dwells upon this point for a reason. For except our faith is really founded on God, we're not going to be able to stand firm. We're not going to be able to stand firm in the contest. We need to be able to stand firm. And having done all to stand, stand. How many are unaware? They may have some knowledge of the gospel message, but how many are unaware of the reality of these things? That our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh, that He took upon Himself the sins of the people, that He bore the wrath of God on the tree for me. That by believing upon Him, men are justified. Think about what you've been given, the understanding that you've been given. To me, this is like the lepers that the Lord healed. How many came back? One. One came back and did what? He returned thanks. This morning, what we're talking about, brethren, about this understanding that we've been given, this is what it ought to produce. Lord, thank You. Thank You for the understanding that You've given. Thank You for the wisdom that You've given. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for showing me Christ. What a high privilege is conferred upon us to be permitted to hear these things. I mean, just this morning, for us to even, just the little bit that we've spent time looking at the things of God. What a high privilege. Not everybody has this privilege. Not everybody wants this privilege. I wanted to be here this morning. Do you want to be here? Now, I used to be one of these little ones, and Mom and Dad say, it's time, you know, to go to church. Oh, church? Really? My favorite program's on Wednesday night. It's time to go, you know, it always seemed to happen that way. The thing I wanted to watch came on a Wednesday night when it's time to go to church. And I was like, but there came a time that wasn't the case anymore. Well, forget that. I'm going to go and hear about the things of God. What a high privilege has been conferred upon us that we are permitted to hear these truths and not only hear them, but understand them and embrace them as true and rest in them as our hope. To know things like 1 John 3:5, use another one of these know things that John talks about. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sin. To know that. What a precious thing. The world regards the gospel as no more than uncertain speculation. They question the divinity of Christ. They ask, is He God incarnate or is He just a man? Just a teacher. Did He really die? An atoning, sacrificing death? Is the teaching of Jesus true? Is it complete? Is it authoritative? Did He rise from the dead? Or is His teaching partial, needing the teaching of others to come alongside and help? You know, they question these things. They debate these things. They have trouble when Hebrews says, that by faith we know that God's... These little children are talking about God spoke these things into existence. Jeff was saying, where did He get the water? Where did He get the dirt? Where did He get these things? He didn't need to. He spoke them into existence. You are in the minority believing that and understanding that. Most of the world, that does not make any sense to them whatsoever. I remember Brother Gilbert Barr standing there at Bentley saying that he believed in the Big Bang Theory. And I was like, you believe in the Big Bang Theory? He said, yeah. He said, God said, let there be light, and bang, there was light. John says these matters are plain and unquestionable in those who know him that is true. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Think about what we understand. Think about what you've been given. Think about the gift of God that has been given unto you. If you're unconverted here this morning, what do you know? Well, I'm a college student. You know, I've already gotten, you know, my bachelor's degree. Now I'm going for my master's. What do you really know if you don't know God? What do you really know if you don't know the Lord? May God make you know this, that you are lost by nature. And unless forgiven, you will be lost forever and ever. May the Lord make you by His Spirit know that there is a Savior. And that He is able not only to save, but to save to the uttermost. I love that. He saves to the uttermost. And then make you to know in the fullest sense that He loved you and gave Himself for you. That's my desire for you if you don't know the Lord. That He would make you know these things. And that you would be, as the passage says here, found in Him that is true. Found in Him that is true. So, in closing, it's not human teaching. It's not the power of reason that this light has sprung within our souls. It's Christ. He's given us an understanding. Remember Lydia? What happened? I named my last one Lydia. It was thinking about this. My prayer was that the Lord would open. My prayer still is that the Lord would open her heart. He's got to give an understanding. He enlightens the minds of His people. He reveals unto babes the things that are hidden from the wise and the prudent. As I was driving up here, I was thinking about Brother Bob Jennings. It's this very understanding that allowed Brother Bob to take his family and go out into the wood shop and make a coffin and write upon it, O death, where is thy victory? It's this understanding that allowed him to be able to do that and rejoice as he was finishing his course, as he was running the race and keeping the faith, knowing there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness. You ask if, we told me, brother, that you close, you know, the service, if there was a way. I would like for us to sing a hymn, if we could. I think it's in the hymnal, And Can It Be? Is that in the hymnal? Yeah. And can it be that I should gain an interest in these things?